Hey, before we dive into today's message, I got to give a quick shout out to our very own Baldwin Bulldogs for winning a state championship last night. Come on, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Man, that was exciting. We are so blessed. They won a state championship in basketball. We are so blessed to have student athletes represented all over Lawrence and surrounding communities. But last night's game was exciting. If you got to watch it, honestly, as a family, we don't get to see many games. But someone told us that they were putting it online. And so we're like, hey, as a family, let's sit there and watch it. I don't think my kids had been more captivated before. My son was taking videos of the game saying, Bulldogs, Bulldogs. And like everyone's cheering every time they scored. So it was pretty awesome. But I thought one of the coolest things during one of the timeouts or right before they went to a commercial, my daughter started pointing out different students that were also had traveled with the team to cheer them on. I'm like, and for my eyes, I'm like, how can you even tell those are students? Who are they? And like, oh no, here's so-and-so and here's so-and-so. I'm like, how do you know? It's like, well, they're wearing their Jesus One t-shirts and they're holding up their Jesus One signs. And every time they score a point, it's amazing. I mean, that picture really is worth 1,000 words. And like every time like they're shaking that sign, like Jesus won, Jesus won. I'm so grateful, one, just to be a part of this church and to have students like that and represented here, many of which make this their church home. But I'm grateful because I also have sons and daughters looking up to those upperclassmates. And that's what it's all about, right? Pursuing what God has for you in the season of life that you're in. And so, yeah, I just thought that was awesome. So congratulations again. That was really exciting. We're going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to have everyone stand to your feet. And we're going to start by reading the Word of God together. If you're physically able, I'd just love for you to stand. And we're going to read our main chapter that we're going to look at today is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. We'll put it up on the screen. And this is what it says. These are the words of Jesus. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that you will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the word and I pray right now that you would just wash it over our hearts, that we would be a people, we would be a church that is connected to you, connected to this true vine, God. And in this place, in our hearts, in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, we would produce the fruit that you are looking for. Holy Spirit, we just invite you in this place. I ask that if you need to show us anything, teach us anything, reveal anything in our hearts, transform us in any way, we say come and have your way in us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. It was June 2nd, 1995. Captain Scott O'Grady was flying a routine mission over the airspace in Bosnia. This was the Bosnian War, and he was a captain in the U.S. Air Force, and he was part of a NATO task force that was in charge of keeping a no-fly zone over the country of Bosnia during the war. And what he thought was a pretty routine mission quickly became not so very routine when just a few minutes after entering Bosnian airspace, his F-16 Fighting Falcon got shot down with a surface-to-air missile. Unfortunately, the plane blew up almost instantaneously, and he had to eject. And thankfully, he landed safely. The only problem was he landed miles behind enemy lines. He didn't know what to do, but his training took over, and armed with nothing but a few supplies and a small radio, he knew he had to take cover immediately or he'd be overrun by enemy soldiers. So he found the thickest woods he could find, and there he hid from the enemy soldiers for 6 days, surviving on this just a little gross, eating insects, bugs, drinking rainwater from leaves, vegetation, anything that he could find, and he actually evaded capture. His story goes on to say, he documents, there was times where enemy soldiers were so close as he was hiding because his training taught him to move around during the night. And during the day, he hid himself with leaves and vegetation. But during several moments, he had the enemy soldiers so close, he could hear them walking and talking. So this is like an extreme game of hide and go seek, right? With life and death consequences. 6 days, he stays hidden. Finally, on June 8th, he looks up and he sees an airplane flying overhead. And he has to make a decision. Is this the time to try to make contact? He's looking up and he finally realized, okay, that is a NATO aircraft. I'm going to try to make contact. He pulls out his little radio, and in an encoded message, he confirms his identity, his condition, and his approximate location. And immediately, this is the first time that NATO forces actually had confirmation that Captain Scott O'Grady was still alive. And so quickly, they put a rescue party together, and it culminated with Cobra attack helicopters, Stallion helicopters, Harrier jets, a full armed escort of Marines, and they flew in all at once to get this guy. And the story goes that they landed in this place where they began to land, and as soon as they came in with these helicopters, gunfire erupted all over the woods, small arms fire, anti-aircraft fire, but Captain O'Grady only had one choice. I gotta make it to the helicopters. And he took off running from his hiding spot. Bullets flying everywhere. He says he literally dove into the helicopters, made it. They didn't even have to land. They took off, and thankfully that he got home safely and became a national hero. Every time I hear a story like this, I think of two things. One, I am so grateful for the service men and women in our armed forces and our military. Can we give honor where honor is due? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for active personnel. Thank you for reserves. Thank you for veterans. You guys, I mean, who knows, freedom is not free, right? And so, man, when I hear stories like that, I'm like, that takes a lot of bravery to do what those men and women do every single day, especially in this day and this hour. But when I hear a story like that, the other thing it reminds me of is how important it is to stay connected. You know, this is about a $40 radio, right? Pretty much insignificant, especially when you compare it to the multi-million dollar jet he was flying just moments before. But this was a lifeline, and this allowed him to stay connected to a higher power, and it saved his life. So when Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. This isn't spiritual flowery language where God is just saying, hey, let's be friends. An hour and a half a week, let's get together on a Sunday morning and let's briefly talk and you can share all your problems and then you go out living your day. No, he says, this is a lifeline, a decision that you have to make that has eternal consequences. It has the consequence of life and death. And if you remain in Christ, Jesus says, you will live. But if you try to live apart from Christ, disconnected, you will die. He's saying this is a matter of life and death. So the title of today's message is simply, Stay Connected. Turn to your neighbor right now and just say, stay connected. Stay connected. I've got to look at some people in the eye and just say, stay connected. This is a matter of life and death. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's not an opinion. It is a command. But Jesus is unpacking a powerful truth here because who knows, staying connected is not always easy, right? It takes time, and who knows, we never have enough time in life. Gosh, yesterday it was like my little work day. I had a lot of things planned. I wanted to rake the backyard. It was beautiful. I wanted to finish painting our deck. I did all this, right? That was my plan, and I ran out of paint before I even finished painting the deck, right? I never have enough time. Guess what? You'll never feel like you'll have enough time. You got to make time to stay connected. You'll just never have it, right? It takes time. It takes effort if you want to stay connected. Thankfully, this June, Adrian and I will be married 17 years. But over those 17 years, I've just thought of how much effort it has taken for us to stay connected together as a strong married couple. And there's times where very often we'll go get coffee, we'll go out to dinner and just say, hey, how are we doing? We doing good? And if there's something a little off, we talk about it, but it takes effort. And who knows, if you want to stay connected with someone, it takes intentionality, right? We will never spiritually drift towards Jesus. It will take time, it will take effort, it will take intentionality, but if Jesus, because this is what Jesus said, if you remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will produce much fruit. So today, we're gonna look at a couple of schemes that the enemy uses to try to keep us from staying connected to with Jesus, because who knows, I mean, Satan knows, right? He goes, this is a matter of life and death. If I can keep these people away from Christ, disconnected, I know I can defeat them because they're like a worthless branch. So we're gonna look at these schemes because we've gotta identify them, we have to understand them, and then eliminate them with the word of God. So we're gonna study a few of these. I'm sure I could have come up with a lot more, but just one more time, let's just prepare our hearts because this is a big deal, right? This is a matter of life and death. This is not opinion, this is not a suggestion. It is a command, one that has eternal consequences. So Father, I just thank you again for what you're doing in this place. And now that we know what you want to speak to us, I really do ask Holy Spirit, even in my life, anything that you need to say, anything that you need to do, anything that you need to make sure we need to hear today, I pray that your Spirit would speak to us, God, more than my words, more than anything that I could say. God, I pray you would speak to us, you would mold us, you would shape us and transform us into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, three schemes of the enemy. The first scheme is in your notes here, but it's the lure of false vines. I want you guys to put up the scripture in here. This is 1 John 15, verse 1. And this is what it says. Jesus says, I am the true grapevine. Right there. Bold, underline it. If you're comfortable in your Bibles, you know, underline it for you. I am the true grapevine. Why would Jesus say, I am the true grapevine? Very simply, because he knows there's a lot of false vines out there. And if you look at all throughout the ministry of Jesus, you read the Gospels, he's constantly making these statements about himself like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He says, I am the narrow gate. Like he's making, I am the true vine. Why does he make all these statements about himself? It's simply because he knows there's a lot of false vines out there. It's the lure of false vines, right? We can make anything a false vine, but you might be asking, okay, so how do I know? How do I know if I'm connected to Jesus or if I'm connected to a false vine? Pretty simple, here's the test. If you make anything else your source of happiness, joy, or fulfillment in life, you have connected to a false vine. Only Jesus, only God the Father can fill the God-sized hole in our life. If you try to connect to anything else that says that will make you happy, and listen, there's a million false vines out there. Money, power, prestige, position, people, even people, right? We can make people an idol in our life. Anything that we make our source, anything that we say, this is what fulfills me. Now listen, I 17 years this June, if I tried to make Adrian, the source of my life, I'm gonna be so disappointed, right? And she's gonna be disappointed. Why? She could never fulfill me. Only God can fulfill me. Your spouse, your daughters, your sons, your family could never complete you. There's a God-sized hole in you and only God can fill it. You're setting those people up for failure. You're setting yourself up for failure. If you think your money's gonna save you, if you think your title's gonna save you, those are all false vines. And Jesus says, I am the true grapevine. If you stay connected to me, you will produce fruit. But without me, apart from me, you're not gonna be able to do anything. So we have to understand there's a lot of false vines that we can connect to. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. No one. And this week I did a deep dive and I looked into that word no one and it literally means no one, right? You are not the exception. And I love to think that everyone likes to think that we're the exception, like, oh yeah, well, I can live in the world and I can love God. I can put my foot in the world and I can put my foot in Christianity. He goes, no, if you stay connected to false vines, you will never produce the fruit that God desperately wants you to have in your life. And I know the fruit that we all want to produce, right? Jeremiah 17, 5-8 says, this is powerful language. He says, cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Cursed, that's strong language. He says, if you make anything else your vine, if you make it your strength, anything apart from the Lord, you're basically walking in a curse. What will they be like? They will be like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness and an uninhabited, salty land. I want you to think of, if I just use that word, stunted shrub. Stunted shrub in a desert. Close your eyes and I want you to think of a stunted shrub in the desert. You guys got the picture? Doesn't it just look like a branch that has lost its fruit and lost its leaf and it's just standing up like this? Do you think Jesus knows what he's talking about? He goes, apart from me, you're nothing. You're a stunted shrub. You'll never produce the things that you want. Why? Because you've connected to false vines. Curse of those who trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength. But look at verse 7. He says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and who have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Look at this contrast here. He goes, if you try to make anything else your source, any false vine your source, you will wither and die. But if you make the Lord your confidence, if you make him your hope, you will be like a tree planted along the river. And he goes, and even during drought times, even during hard times, you will still produce fruit. Why? Because you are connected to the true vine. And I can't tell you how many times, and I'm sure the longer you guys live, the more you realize troubles are going to come. Jesus says offenses are going to happen, trials are going to come. But if you stay connected to the vine, you will continually produce fruit. It doesn't leave you and say, hey, you're not going to go through trials. They're inevitable. But the joy is if we stay connected, we'll always produce the fruit that God wants us to produce. I've heard it said this way before. You can't grow godly roots when you're still playing in the world's soil. You can't grow godly roots when you're still playing in the world's soil. And I've met so many people over time who say, I want more peace in my life. I want more joy in my life. And I want this. And maybe you're here today. And as I was preparing this message, I just felt like there's a handful of people in here who are saying, man, you know what? I'm not producing the fruit that I used to. I'm not feeling the same connection to God that I used to have. Can I just encourage you? Maybe, just maybe, you're connecting to some false vines. And that's not here to shame anyone. I have done that before. I've looked at other things to make me happy and to find my strength in. But I inevitably know that only causes pain in my relationship with the Lord. And I never produce the fruit that I really want to produce. You can't grow godly roots if you're still playing in the world's soil. Living in the world will never work because you'll produce what you are connected to. And if you stay connected to the world, no matter how bad you want to look like Christ, if you stay connected to the world, you will look more like the world. But if you stay connected to Christ, I promise you, every single day, you will look more like Christ. But we have to look at and recognize there's a lot of false vines, a lot of things that we can try to stay connected to. But church, in this day, in this hour, can we be a people of God who makes a decision to stay connected to the true grapevine? Amen. Amen. So that's the first scheme. We just have to recognize there's a lot of things that Satan is going to dangle in front of us and say, I promise you that's going to bring you peace. I promise you that's going to bring you joy. But we have to say, no, there's only one person who's going to give me peace. There's only one person who's going to give me joy. There's only one person who can give me purpose in this life. And that person is Jesus. Scheme number two, it's the fear of loss. The fear of loss. I'm going somewhere with this. Jesus says, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. Check this out. He says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Church, I have read this verse probably 100 times before, and I don't know if I've ever caught this until I was studying it this week. Did you catch this? He says, the branch that produces fruit gets cut, and the branch that doesn't produce fruit also gets cut, but there's a major difference. One gets cut from the vine, and one gets cut in the vine. And I want to be a person who gets cuts in the vine, right? It's this idea of pruning. But listen, both experience loss. Both experience loss. And sometimes I think we fear, and if I say we, I'm included in that. I think we fear the loss that we would experience if we follow Jesus. Because many times Jesus says, come follow me. But you know, you're going to have to give up some things. You're going to have to give up some ways that you think. You're going to have to give up some ways that you live. You might have to give up some things that you think you want in this life. But if you're willing to lose them and lose your life for my sake, you will actually find life. But we have to discover there's this fear of loss, this schema of loss, right? That Satan is always trying to say, do you really believe? Do you really believe that if you give that up, you will receive more? And I'm here to tell you the answer is yes. Absolutely. That's the only way to stay connected. And I've been there before where I feel like God, comes up to me and I see Jesus walking up with pruning shears and I'm like, oh no, not this again, right? And he comes up to me and he goes, Micah, I promise you, this is not a bad thing in your life, but this is not going to produce the fruit that you want. You're going to have to cut it out. And I'm like, oh man, Lord, you really going to do that? He goes, yep. And guess what? We were talking about this in my life group. We were talking about controlling the tongue. We were studying the book of James. And I remember the mouth that I had on me growing up as a kid. I mean, the most foul things. I remember cussing out my parents. And finally, I gave my life to the Lord. But to change the way I talk took a long time, right? And he goes, Micah, look, there's some things that I'm still doing in you, but if you let me cut this out of your life, I promise you're only going to produce more fruit. You're only going to produce more fruit. And sometimes I think we just get afraid when we think of this idea of pruning. One, though, listen, you're going to experience loss no matter what. So you get to choose your pain. You can either experience the pain of being cut from the vine, or you can experience maybe the momentary pain of being cut in the vine, but God only does it because he is the good gardener. He loves you. He cares for you. He's not doing this to hurt any one of us or you. He does it because he cares. And he wants you to produce more fruit in your life. Pruning is not a bad thing. In fact, it's a way that God shows that he loves us. It's not easy, but he loves us. I know a lot of you guys know the story, the parable of the talents. And the talents is just a biblical term for a certain sum of money. So maybe in the Bible that you read, it sometimes refers it to silver, gold, or whatnot. But there's a story where this master, this is really interesting, I never saw it this way before. This master goes to three servants, and to one he gives five bags of silver. And he goes, hey, I'm going on a long trip. I want you to invest this, and when I come back, I want to see what you make for me, right? And then he goes to another servant and he goes, all right, hey, I have two bags of silver for you. Here you go, invest it and let me know what you make for me when I return. And then he goes to one servant, he goes, hey, I have one bag of silver for you. Take this, invest it, and when I return, I want to know what you make, right? And so after a long time, the master comes back and he goes, okay, let's settle accounts. How'd you do? And the first man who was given five bags of silver steps forward and he goes, hey, master, I immediately went to work and I invested your money and look, I doubled it. Here's 10 bags of silver for you. And the master is full of praise. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with little. Now you will be given even more. Come share in your master's happiness. And I mean, he's just like ecstatic, right? Seeing the good report, the man with two bags of silver comes forward and he goes, hey, master, I also put your money to work and I doubled your money as well. And here's your four bags of silver. And the master goes, oh, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with little. And now you'll be given even more. Come share in your master's happiness. And every time I share this story, I always point this out. Did you notice that the man with five bags of silver and the man with two gets the same reward? Can I encourage you? Don't compare yourself to anyone. Don't compare yourself and say, I wish I would have been given the five bags of silver and not the two. And we can do this in so many different ways. I tell my wife, Adrian, this all the time. Sometimes I just wish I had one of those voices. And that's why when I sing real loud, I always look that way so no one has to hear me, right? My daughters were in a musical this week, The Little Mermaid. So that song has been stuck in my head literally all weekend. And I just want to like belt out this note and sing to the top of my lungs, right? But you don't want to hear me. I'm not even going to pretend to try for you guys, right? You don't want that. But here's the truth. We'd like to compare and say, oh, I wish I had that gift. Or I wish I had this. But listen, God is not looking. He's just saying, be faithful with what I have given you. Be faithful what I have in your hands right now. Put it to work. Listen, both of them got the same reward. He's just looking for you to step out in faith. So if it's to serve, come serve. If it's to give, give generously. If it's to encourage, encourage somebody. But just do it knowing it's a gift God has given you. Amen. And then there's a servant who has one bag of silver. And he didn't do very good with his money. And in Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 through 30, it says this. Then the servant with one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid, what? That I would lose your money." Remember, we're talking about this fear, this scheme of loss. He was afraid I was gonna lose your money. "So I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." This servant feared loss more than he feared God. He wouldn't even put it in the bank to get a little interest on it, because then Jesus says, or the master says, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit the money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless and lazy servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now again, I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm not trying to, you know, give a doom and gloom message, but here it is. Jesus says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch that withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. When I am saying to stay connected is a matter of life and death, church, Jesus means it. If you want to live and have a life full, an abundant life, you have to stay connected. It is no other choice. You may think you're the exception. You may think, "Oh, I can occasionally stay connected. I can occasionally do this and I'll survive." I promise you, if you do not stay connected, you will wither. And it's the last thing God wants for your life. How do I know that? Because he's telling us again and again and again. You can't read the scripture without him saying and showing how much he desires to have a relationship. Even in the Old Testament, which seems a little maybe sometimes harsh and God maybe even seems standoffish compared to like the Jesus, our close friend. But you read that with the different eyes, and you read that with the eyes of a loving father, and you still see a God who is desperately trying to connect with his children. But you have to stay connected. You have to make that choice. It's the only way you're gonna produce the fruit in your life. So it might hurt to get pruned a little bit. I've been pruned and it hurts, but it's good. He's not trying to hurt you, he's trying to grow you. He's not trying to destroy you, he's trying to conform you and transform you into the image of his son. Real quickly, I want to just highlight four spiritual benefits of pruning. These were really interesting when I looked them up. Number one, pruning removes what hinders fruitfulness. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will produce even more. So if you're going through a pruning process in your life, take heart. Take heart. Why? Because you're going to be even more fruitful in the next season of your life. He's not doing this to hurt you. Your prayer, like, "Lord, give me more peace, give me more joy, help me get closer to you." He goes, "Yep, and here's the recipe." Snip. It's okay. Why is he doing that? Because you can be even more fruitful because of it. Number two, pruning is a sign of God's care. Why? Because a gardener only prunes plants he intends to keep. You guys following me on that? If the gardener saw you as worthless, he'd cut you off and throw you away. But if you're getting a pruning season, he's saying, "Hey, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for your life. But you have to go through this process. You have to trust me that I know better than what you do. And even if it hurts in the moment, even if you might experience loss in the moment, trust me and you'll be even more fruitful." Number three, spiritual pruning produces spiritual fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against those things, there is no law. And when you go through that pruning process, man, all of the sudden, I can't tell you, when I've gone through a hard transition in life, pruning, if you want to call it that, the amount of peace that I can walk in just knowing that I am doing the Lord's will, you can throw anything at me and I'm just saying, God's got this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It produces the fruit that I desperately want in my life, the fruit that I want my kids to see, the fruit that I want my wife to see in me daily. And number four, pruning helps lighten the load during hard seasons of life. Listen to me, church. There are some things that are just not worth caring anymore. There are just some things in life that is just not worth caring anymore. Bitterness, offense, unforgiveness. And we might go through this life and you can be connected and you're coming to church, you're doing all those things. But I'm telling you, those things are not worth caring. If you go to a loving father and just say, Lord, would you transform me? Would you really look in my life? He'll start highlighting different things in your life. It goes, hey, Micah, I love you, but you need to forgive this person. Micah, I love you, but do you really want to hold on to that fence any longer? Let me cut that out. And you know what it allows? It allows me not to carry it to the next season of life, because I'll start the next season of life the same way I end my last one. And if you keep carrying bitterness, offense, regret, all of those things, you'll carry that into every season of life and you'll never be as fruitful as God wants you to be. We have to overcome the scheme and the spirit of loss though. And finally, number three, the scheme of self-sufficiency. And this is very tied to the first one because it is a false vine, but I wanted to separate it out because it is very different. This is what Proverbs 28:26 says. Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Those who trust in themselves are fools. If you're looking for your wisdom to get you through life, the Bible says that is a very foolish thing to do. If you think your self-sufficiency, your strength, your grace, your strength, it's actually part of the testimony of the Baldwin team. If you just study them and just know some of the players and students on that team, God's been doing just a miraculous work the last 2 years in that school and in that city and in those students. And I think one of the things after even hearing some of those students were up here giving a testimony last year at our Next Gen Sunday, right? And they said, we relied on ourselves. We had this idea that our self-sufficiency, our strength, our power would get us through life. And it was only by getting down on their knees and realizing Jesus won the victory, Jesus has the answers, that they finally actually started to produce the fruit that God wanted them to produce in their life. There's a powerful story in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. And God here is telling the people of Israel that he's about to bring them into a great land, right? The land flowing with milk and honey. Israel literally just came out of slavery. And in verse 1, it says, be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply in the land you will enter and occupy the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors. I love this. He says, if you obey me, done deal. You will enter this good land, right? And I just want to encourage some people in here right now. I promise if you make this decision today to stay connected, you will enter a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It is a relationship that will never run dry. You will have so much peace, so much joy, no matter what you go through. I promise you, you will not regret it. And this is what the Lord is telling his people here. And he kind of doubles down on it. If we skip down to verse 7, he says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, of flowing streams and pools of water and fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines and fig trees and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. And when you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he is giving you. He is saying, hey, if you're doing this, if you stay connected to me, it's a done deal. I'm gonna give all of this to you, all of it. And I'm telling you, that is a prophetic word over anyone who will choose life and choose to stay connected to the true grapevine today. But then he gives a warning in verse 11, and he says this, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, but that is the time to be careful. When's the time to be careful? When you've actually entered the land that I swore to give you. He promises, hey, look, I'm gonna give you this land flowing with milk and honey. It's gonna be an abundant land. It's gonna be a good life for you. But he says, but that's the time. That's the time to be careful. Why? He says, beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and your herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all of this so that you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this great wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember, the Lord your God, he is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed with your ancestors with an oath. Here's the point. Say we choose to stay connected. Say we start producing the fruit that God wants us to have in our life. Praise God, that's awesome. But he says in that moment, that's the time to be careful of the scheme of self-sufficiency. You might look at your life and say, look at everything I was able to accomplish. Look at everything that I was able to do, church. And if you say, look what I did, I'm telling you, immediately, he says, this is gonna be the part where you get severed from the vine. We have to stay connected. We can't produce the fruit that God wants us to have if we are gonna connect to a false vine, even if it's ourself. If you're in a fruitful season of your life, praise God. But every morning, wake up with gratefulness and thankfulness, saying, Lord, thank you for everything that you have done in my life. Thank you for every blessing that you've put in my life. Thank you for my spouse or the spouse to come. Thank you for my kids or my kids to come. Thank you for my job or the job that you're gonna provide. Thank you, God. It's by your hand. And when you live that type of life, I promise you, you are staying connected to the vine and you will produce the fruit that God wants each and every one of us to have. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. He helps me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in a time of trouble. Can I have everyone stand to your feet this morning? Here's a final thought I want to leave with us today, is that when we are remain in Christ, remaining or abiding is a very active, it is not inactive process. To remain in Christ is to say, I'm going to make a decision again and again and again. And I think I've shared this story before. When I graduated high school, I had a mentor of mine give me a journal. And at the very front of the journal, he just wrote this phrase and said, I believe it's a choice. And every time I open up that journal, I'm reminded that every day I get to choose, am I going to abide? Am I going to remain in the vine that has given me life? Or am I going to pursue false vines? Am I going to pursue the things of the world that make me think, but couldn't this bring me a little bit more happiness and joy? Maybe momentarily, but I'll never continue to produce the fruit that God wants me to have. Maybe I fall into the fear of loss. God, if I really give you this, can I give you 95%? Can I even give you 99%? And can't you still bless me? He says, no, give me 100%. Don't fear the loss. Don't fear the scheme that says, if you give this up for me, you're not going to get more. And listen, we don't give to get. I'm not saying that. I just know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God's word will never return void. And if you just put this into practice, church, I promise you, you will grow. You will grow and you will never, ever regret it. I want to leave you with this final verse. It's Jude chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. It says, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers, those who will follow their own ungodly desires, aka false vines. So there's gonna be things that pop up all the time to say, try this out, go to that religion, go to that person, they'll fulfill you, whatever the case may be. He says, no, none of that. He says, actually, these are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love. Keep, abide, stay connected. This is not inactive. This is an active thing that God wants us to do. He says, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you into eternal life. Stay connected. Stay connected. And don't give up. And don't give up. I promise you, in the right time, in the right season, and who loves, I've just noticing all the trees budding early and seeing all the flowers coming up. In the right season, you will produce the fruit that you so desperately want to produce. But you have to stay connected. And you might ask, okay, how do I stay connected? And it's a little bit of a cop-out, but I'm gonna give you three of them right now. And you could put this in every single message and it's gonna be applicable. But there's three things that if you do these three things, I promise you, you will stay connected, you'll produce the fruit. It's to get in God's presence, get in God's word, and get around God's people. Those three things right there. I could talk about them every single time I have a chance, an opportunity to preach, right? Because when you get in God's presence, everything changes. So I want to encourage you guys this week, get in God's presence. Pray. Get alone with God. Take a few minutes. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. And then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will enter your heart. Listen to me, church. When we pray, he gives us the opportunity to say, hey, don't fear anything. In fact, you can pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. But make sure you give him thanks too. He's not just this magic genie that we come and ask, Lord, can I have this? Can we have this? True prayer is not seeking God's hand, it's seeking God's face. And it's saying, God, I need you more today than I did yesterday. And every morning, every night you pray that prayer and you mean it with a genuine heart, you will stay more connected to the vine. Get in God's presence. Get in God's word. Get in God's word. And don't just say, I listen to some worship songs, and that's good, worshiping in God's presence. That's wonderful. I love worship. But you need to get in God's word every single day, church. Every day. I encourage you, if you haven't downloaded the Rev City app, we have devotions every single day on there for you. You can watch them. They give you bite-sized little application things right below it and a worship song at the end if that's your jam, right? But start somewhere. I promise you, if you do this in a genuine way and you take even just 5 minutes, you'll go, man, that left me more peaceful. That left me more fruitful. And you'll want to spend more time. And you spend 10 minutes a day and all of a sudden you go, man, this is changing me a little bit. What would happen if I spent a little bit more time and a little bit more time, and all of a sudden you start seeing changes in you, and then all of a sudden people start seeing changes in you. Get in God's presence. Get in God's word, and finally get around God's people. And I understand I'm kind of preaching to the choir here because you're all here right now. But I promise you, the more decisions you make to get around godly people, the more opportunities God has is to build you and grow you. And so I encourage you, now this week is spring break, so all of our life groups or most of them are paused, but check out the life groups we have here. Get connected, join one. Any group would love to have you. See what's going on. Invite some Christian friends over to home, but if you expect to grow godly roots, but you're still hanging out in worldly soil, you'll never produce the fruit that you want. So maybe this is the time you go, yeah, I need to lay down a few friends. As Pastor Thomas would say, I need to stop clucking with the turkeys so I can fly with the eagles. Whatever you need to do, get in God's presence, get in God's word, get around God's people, and I promise you, you'll produce the fruit that God desires for you. So Father, I thank you. I thank you for every single person in here. And right now, as we often do, Holy Spirit, we're just inviting you. And I just want you guys to say right where you're at, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me right now here in this place? And just let the Lord speak to you. Have you connected to a false vine? Have you tried to find the source of your happiness at the bottom of a bottle or some pills or a person? And this is the day God is just crying out to you. He's with everything. He says, come to me, those who are weak and weary, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. But you gotta stay connected to me. You gotta stay connected. Give up those false vines. They will leave you dry and withered like a shrub stunted in the desert. Maybe the Lord's revealing just this fear of loss in your life, and you're just thinking, man, if I give this up, I have to say no to this thing that I've always wanted in this life. This was my dream. Can I just promise you guys something? If you lay down your dream for God's dream, God's dream is gonna be so much better. God's treatment is going to be so much better than anything you could ever plan for yourself, anything that you could ever hope for yourself. He has blessings that we can't even begin to ask, imagine, and think about. It's worth it. It's worth it. But you gotta stay connected. And maybe there's some people in here today that you're just thinking, I am weary, I am dry, because I've been trying to do this all on my own. I've been doing this all on my own, and I just cannot keep doing this anymore. Can I encourage you guys with something? There's a story about you in the Bible. We share about it every single Sunday. It's about this prodigal son. And I want you to think about this. The prodigal son goes to his father and he says, I wish you were dead, give me my inheritance. And he goes and he severs himself from the true vine and he goes and he lives wildly, right? And I want you to think, if you go and cut a branch right now, even that has something that has flowers on it, you could say, wow, yeah, look, I'm doing pretty good. But you wait a day, it starts to wither. You wait 2 days, it's looking real dead. By the third day, that branch is going to be dead. And that's where that man found himself. He found himself at the end of his ropes. He had no friends, no money. This prodigal son was living and he was at the end of himself. He goes, I don't even know what to do anymore. I'm starving. I'm eating pig food. No one's giving me any help. You know what I'll do? I'll go back. I don't deserve to be my father's son anymore, but I'll go back and maybe he'll just let me be a servant. And he takes a few steps and he starts going towards the father again. And the Bible says the father sees him and from a long way off, he sees him and runs to him. He gives him a jacket. He gives him a sandal. He gives him a ring. All of these things represent him bringing his sonship back onto his son. And he says, I love you, embraces him. And the son is just saying, I withered, I failed. I tried to live apart from you. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Father. And God just says, you're mine. You're mine. And together, let's celebrate together. So if you find yourself in that place and you feel like you are severed from the vine and you've been living on your own, you've been doing the things, today is the day of salvation, but you have to take that step of faith just like that boy did, just like that man did. He came running to his father. And if that is you today, I just want you to put up your hand right now. It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of declaration saying, Father, I need you. I want you more than anything else in this life. I need you more than life itself because in you, I can only have life. In you, I can only have hope. In you, I can only produce the fruits that God wants me to produce. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Anyone else? Today is that day to run home to your Father, to stay connected to the vine and walk out of here more fulfilled, more filled, more ready for today. Amen. If you raise your hand, you can lower it. We're going to pray this prayer together. We do this every Sunday. It just reminds us that we never graduate from grace, but we do it together because we're a family. And so whether you raise your hand or not, I just want you to repeat this prayer after me and say, Father, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. I give you my life and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, I will never be the same. Come on, let's praise God for what he did for us. Worship team, would you please lead us? We love you guys, appreciate you. God bless you.